Hey, imaginary internet audience, welcome back to another exciting The Trades. The Trades is us talking about comics. It's us. You know us by now, probably. We
The
do this
people
every
who haven't
month.
been paying attention.
Yeah. So, how are you? How is your life?
The world is on fire, and all I want to do is nap.
Yeah, that's real. Have you voted yet?
Funny story.
Yikes. Yikes.
I got an absentee ballot, and I didn't want to fuck with the mail, so I s signed it out. I went back to Northampton, the pit of my nightmares, but also some good people, but also the pit of my nightmares,
Mostly nightmares.
mostly nightmares. I did not know you have to sign the envelope. I just thought you had to fill out the ballot and seal the envelope. I signed the ballot. I took out all the stuff, so now I have to.
Why would you s hold on? Hold on. I treasure you. I value you. I think you're smart. We have secret ballots in this nation. Why would you sign your fucking ballot? Why would that make sense? The right of secret ballot is like primo fucking right fucking there.
I don't care who knows who I voted for. I just thought that's what it was, my first absentee ballot, and I got it, and it said write your name, not on the ballot, but on the thing that came with it, just write your name. But apparently you also have to sign your name on the envelope it comes with
It's
for
not
some.
also, you only have to sign it on the envelope it comes with. You're not supposed to sign your ballot.
Why did it say?
It definitely said to sign the envelope. I don't know. I've only voted absentee once, back when I was still registered in North Carolina instead of Massachusetts for school. But it definitely didn't say to sign your ballot. It for defs did not.
Well, I guess if Trump wins, blame me. I don't know. I'll fix it, but it's still stupid.
I mean, certainly the system is more convoluted than it ought to be, and I think, the problems involved in the system of voting early or absentee, or even by mail, involves a lot of possibilities for voter disenfranchisement, since system should be as intuitive as possible for something that is a fundamental right as a citizen.
Yeah.
With that said, why would you think you have to sign the ballot? The ballot?
Because who, how else are they gonna know it's me?
That's
And
not, they're not supposed to know it's you.
at this point, it's just fun. Fun Listen, I've been signing a lot of papers, and I think it's all the muscle memory that's just like, oh, I have to sign my name. I'll just do that. And I swear, I don't know, in the jumbled mess that is my mind, I'm sure there was no like sign your name here thing.
There's not even a space to sign your name on ballots, is there? There's not like a your name here line. Where did you even sign it?
At the top. At the.
Did you write yourself in for president by accident? Is that what happened here? 'Cause fair enough.
I hope not. I don't want anything to do with any of what's going on with this country. That's not true. America's the best. But
Are you just saying that so that you don't get imprisoned by Trump? Because that's
it's.
fine.
I actually do have some national pride. Not a lot, but just a tiny, just that little smorzel that's still like. If someone is just like a dick about how America sucks, I'll be like, hey, we're spunky. We are warmongers, but we also
Isn't spunky traditionally attributed to the underdog and not the massively wealthy, massively well-armed? Spunky seems weird to describe a country that is also considered the leader of the free world. Spunky's a weird one for that, pal.
Are we protected? Are we?
Like we or like we like what's our okay
The circle.
so like the body politic generally
Yeah.
yeah we haven't had a fucking land invasion like boots on the ground in the United States has not really happened to us pal
It's so hard for me not to be the devil's advocate right now.
All right, I'm gonna have to edit most of this shit out anyway, because this podcast can't just turn into stupid arguing about jingoism the
I mean, why not?
whole time. This is a comics podcast.
That should open up every show from now
What? This is a comics podcast said with a tone of mingled bewilderment and desperation?
Well, first with the we can't just argue about jingoism, and then why not, and then
I
that. And then
don't want us to be in a position to be arguing about jingoism every podcast.
that is fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so you may be voted. We'll see what happens to your ballot. I wrote in Space Jam for a lot of stuff, so I can't really judge you too hard, but
Civic duty. Which, wait, are you for the president? What are you?
no, just for all the uncontested races. So anything where there was only one person running, I wrote in Space Jam. Technically not true on a couple of them where no one was running. I wrote in Come On and Slam at the Jam. We've got a real jam going now. Space Jam. So either Space Jam or lyrics to Space Jam for all the uncontested races, which was mostly shit like Water Commissioner, which like whatever. I'm not commissioning any water. Great. So comic books, comic books. What you been reading? What you been reading?
Oh, I have my prepared statement on a napkin right here.
Okay, are you pleading the fifth on comics?
A way, yes. I've been reading a lot of DC has been like modern comics have been breaking my heart, so I've been diving a bit.
Okay.
I've been reading some old shit. I read Shadow Pact by DC. It's like
It's probably not by DC, it's published by DC. It's probably by other people.
oh yeah, other people wrote it.
Yeah.
It's like the guy who did Fables, the Bilbo Langhams,
Oh my
or he
God.
did some of them.
That motherfucker.
I think Bilbo Langham did Fables.
He did, yeah. He's got some politics that have come to light that are a little
What did he say? I said.
If I recall rightly, he just said a bunch of weird misogynist shit and everyone was like, yeah, I guess. I don't know, I'm not trying to like talk comics drama that I only half remember. So Shadow Pact, which is it sounds like the name of a live journal role-playing game that some people were playing in like appropriately 2005. So what corny garbage was that?
So Shadow Pact is basically, in the DC universe, there's superpowers and there's magic. And superpowers are basically bullshit against magic. They can't do anything. It's very much a fire-fight-fire situation. And Shadow Pact is the good guys' fire, essentially, made up of a bunch of miscreants who nobody really likes. And it's like the grab bag of heroes that didn't make it to mainstream from DC for whatever reason,
becoming a team. One of their usual efforts to wring a little bit of extra cash out of their spare properties, sure.
Yeah. But it's surprisingly fun, and the first issue is pretty much these five bad
mamajamas. If you summarize this issue by issue, I'm ending the podcast for the rest of our lives. I'm
just going to talk about the first one.
Okay.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't. Would you?
I mean, you can go ahead. After a certain point, I'm going to run out of patience for hearing about DC, but by all means.
Okay. A bunch of bad guys kidnap a whole town, and they're going to sacrifice the whole town. And Superman tries to punch a big red bubble, and it's like, I can't do nothing with this bubble. It's magic. So they call the Blue Devil, who's like, fine. He gets on the cell phone, he gets his weird team together, and they get trapped in the bubble for like a few years. That's basically Shadow Pact. It's a lot of pulpy action, a lot of that similar DC style from the 2000s, which is very punchy, smack, pow, and...
So it's a superhero comic with nothing special about it that happens to be about magic users.
The thing that's special about Shadow Pact is that I think it's honestly one of the first, not the first attempts, but one of the most successful attempts to be like, oh, these people do stuff outside of superheroing, because they don't do anything when they're not getting called. One of them loses their apartment because they were trapped in a bubble for a year, and they were like, you didn't pay the rent. And he was like, but I was caught in a magic bubble. And the landlord's like, you gotta go. And there's another comic which is just one of them helping an old lady for a whole issue. It's weird.
I mean, I don't think you can claim that the 2000s had the first look at superheroes doing things outside of superheroics, given that the entire Marvel line in the 60s and 70s was that shit. Like,
oh yeah, I was saying that it's one of my favorite.
All right, well, let me try to rein in some of my crankiness about having to talk about a superhero comic here. Potentially. I think knowing that it's a Willingham comic makes it sort of interesting to think about how the aesthetic of, like, superheroes are people too. Like, what it says that people want to read that in a particular way, which, I mean, my hot take is that soap operas are better than superhero comics. I don't know, I'm glad you liked it. I support you liking things. That's kind of becoming a mantra here, where you talk about something that I think sounds extremely bad, and I'm like, well, I'm glad you felt joy.
It has the best character possibly ever created in comics. I see your look of speculation.
That's not a look of speculation, that's a look of outright disbelief. But sure, okay, what's the best character ever created in comics?
Oh, get ready for this.
I am ready.
Detective Chimp.
That is the kind of thing you would like, yes.
he's a cranky monkey who solves mysteries. How can you not enjoy that? I don't understand how that doesn't hit, like, one of the plethora of interests you have. It's a monkey that solves...
When have I ever expressed any interest in primates? I think I'm pretty staunchly anti-primate, actually.
I've never... Do you hate primates?
I don't like monkeys. I think they're freaky, and I think they throw their own shit. I don't like any of that. Why would I like any of that? That's gross.
I don't think this is news to me. Well, I guess I still stand by Detective Chimp.
I mean, as a character. That is certainly the kind of thing that people like.
It is.
So
not enough, honestly, because I think he deserves a movie. I'd watch the shit out of a Detective Chimp DC movie.
All right, well, good. So it's kind of got some soap opera-y components, but it mostly takes place in the context of early aughts fight scene-y shit, right? Does that kind of cover the gist of the comic?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a lot of backstabbing, and it's a team that doesn't really like each other that much or trust each other. It's Suicide Squad with magic.
Wow, you just made it sound less appealing, and I didn't think that was possible.
It's not as bad as Suicide Squad. For anybody that's interested, I promise.
Yeah, right.
Baby Daddy, just waking up. He's gonna win a state of Wednesday.
What the fuck?
That was an ad on Image Comics.
Does their website have autoplay ads now? Because if we know anyone at Image, we should maybe tell them to knock that off. That's obnoxious.
That's no good, you guys.
Nobody likes autoplay ads.
I wish some people had autoplay ads, though. Like, for people who talk too much, and then you could just, the autoplay would start, then you can walk away.
I had to grab my charger.
Okay. I thought you just went up and left.
I mean, that would have been funny. That would have been the opportune moment to do that. But no, not in this instance. So, you've been reading that. Have you been reading other things?
I tried Shade from the Young Animal outprint. And that's pretty interesting. It's just an alien takes over a high school girl's body. But it's them. It's a Vertigo thing, so it's pretty reminiscent of Animal Man. But it's the most interesting thing I've seen Vertigo do in a while.
You wanna provide the basic details on what it is, who it's by, who's drawing it?
Sure. Shade is Young Animals was the thing that Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance started with DC Comics for young up and coming comics artists to make their own series, and Shade is a continuation of Mr. Shade, the Changing Man. I think her name is Cecil.
So it looks like it's Cecil Castellucci, and Marley Zarcone is doing illustrations, and it's, quote, exploring themes of madness, alienation, and the bizarre. It's the first Google result, so.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah, it's Kelly Fitzpatrick doing coloring and Marley Zarcone doing the drawing or illustration. It's very pretty. It's very, like, nice to look at. And there's a lot of psychedelic stuff in it, which is my bag, and which reminds me a lot of Animal Man. It's sort of like a body snatcher thing.
Which Animal Man, though? Like, which run?
The Moore run.
Okay. You want to be more specific?
What you looking for? Like, what makes me compare the two?
Just any content on that. Just any further opinions other than it sort of reminds you of a comic book. And I don't think you mean Moore. I'm pretty sure you mean Morrison. Since Alan Moore did Swamp Thing.
Reminds me of the Morrison run.
Okay.
Because in the Morrison run, it was all very... It's not like there was so much a story as it was a bunch of... There was a story, but it was a lot of disparate parts coming to make something, and this seems to be taking the same route. Because on the base, it's pretty much... An alien takes over a high school girl's body and is trying to get away from their life on Meadow, which is another planet or universe in the DC, whatever the fuck. And it's just said alien taking snapshots pretty much of this girl's memory and having visual reactions to it, sometimes casting out visions that other people can see, or her trying to basically convince everybody that she's this person when really she's a kooky alien from another dimension.
Okay. That's pretty high concept.
It's like Mean Girls with aliens.
That is less high concept, but sounds much more appealing.
Yeah. I like that they have a black character in the first issue, which is always nice. And he doesn't seem like he's going to die. And there's the Cheshire Cat for some reason. I would suggest you might like it, but it's sort of like... It's only the second issue, so there's not a lot of...
I mean, it sounds like something that I might pick up the trade of at the library, but it's not something that I'm going to buy.
Yeah. Don't buy it.
That is true of, like, everything at this point. Like, I'll pick up the trade. Like, I backed so many fucking comics Kickstarters this year that I'm not...
Oh, why? Because
I'm an idiot.
No, I feel you. You see people... You see a good... Were they good ones? Or?
Not especially. One of them was. You know, it'll be like, this is our last day and we need, like, 20 more bucks to get over the... Get the book out. I'm like, oh, okay. It wasn't really that many, but it was enough that I, am getting comic surprises still, that I'm like, oh, I backed that? Shit. But I backed everything at the digital level so that it was significantly, significantly cheaper. That's fine. Okay, so you've been reading those. You've basically been doing, a deep dive in old DC and then a little bit of new DC, it sounds like?
Yeah, a lot of trying to... Reading stuff that I missed the first time. I tried Harley Quinn, the 90s one, and that was problematic.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it would be. Not just because it's from the 90s, but also because it's from the 90s. Like, the 90s.
Yeah. Simpler time.
Was it?
No iPods. Talking little bits. American Idol wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah, I mean, it did have those. I mean, American Idol, is American Idol still a thing? Yeah, it's over, right? It ended? We're free?
We're free of American Idol, but for how long? Like the Book of the Dead and the Evil Dead, it can't ever truly be destroyed. It can just pass on to another hapless victim.
That's fair. That's real. That seems true. We're condemned to eternal night in reality TV competitions. And we're never getting a second season of Project Accessory, and that is killing me inside. So.
Bring back the hat person.
Yeah, that was so good. The church hat guy who made church hats? He was great.
Hey, church hat guy. I hope you're out there still doing what you love. doing the different thing.
I forgot that we made you watch any or did you watch Project Accessory on your own, or was that something that Rachel and I inflicted on you?
That was a forced viewing.
Yeah, that sounds true. We made a lot of people watch that with us. It was for everyone's own good. It was for the benefit of all of mankind.
I grew as a person for sure.
Yeah. I'm now Googling where is he now. I'm trying to find out where the church hat man went. Adrian Dana was his name. The first thing that came up. Aw, precious. His website is like, dress like the queen you're meant to be. The website is down. But his Facebook page is up, and that is a gift that is never gonna stop giving. Because he has adorably, you know, like, blingy or whatever, you could put text and GIFs over photos of yourself?
What?
Okay, it was a website where you could take photos and then you could put, like, blinking text and whatever on it to, like, make your photos. Anyway, he's found a program like that, I guess, and all of his profile pictures are adorable. One of them has Adrian Dana, Jim 316, and FP... Oh, Fat Boy, but spelled FPHATBOI. Which I would think phonetically you would only need the F or the PH. But I'm not judging. I'm just curious about the choices that are happening there. But his caption on it is just meh. Cozy New York night. Miss being with my mom. Lol. And that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. Like, that's adorable. And then he has a bunch of pictures of himself wearing hats. Okay. And then photos of, like, his nephews. This is too cute and I might actually die. Okay, so he's still adorable. Everyone on Project Accessory, still the cutest. Oh my god, he has a Twitter and it's at Dana Hats. And he has one tweet, which is just launched my official wholesale hat website. And that's the only tweet. and the website's gone. So I don't know what happened to his dream of making hats, but I extremely hope it is still wherever you are, Adrian Dana Hats. I hope you're okay. I hope you're making beautiful hats still. I'm gonna have to get rid of all of this because that was all fairly creepy. I made that creepy. Okay, reining all of this in. So DC Comics, what are your strong feelings about that 90s Harley Quinn? Like, is this, so I know only tiny shreds about the character history of Harley.
Speeding is a leading cause of traffic deaths.
I'm so sorry.
What is going on, dude?
I am totally not looking up Harley Quinn facts right now.
Okay, well, I mean, what ifs?
I just, It was the 2000s one that I read.
Aha!
That's a disconnect. 2000s, it's, Harley Quinn is a great character that is often mishandled.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, honestly not that bad as far as, like, painting her as, like, an accessory. This is very much mostly Harley all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Harley interacting with the other Gotham villains and just being like, I'm just here for the laws. And they're like, ah, god damn it, Harley. God damn it. But she and Poison Ivy kick it off, and it's another thing of the DC that I miss. It's just a fun comic. It's not very heavy-handed. It's a lot of, like, punching and action and jokes, not much else.
I mean, good. That's a good look. That is what that comic should be. No one should have to experience any feelings ever.
Yes. Yes, in a perfect world.
Yeah, it's true. In an ideal world, feelings would actually be illegal. And there would be strict, maybe not prison terms for feeling a feeling, but, like, prison terms. Though, speaking of punching things, that is a segue which I'm going to use to talk about a comic that I read, because I read a comic. It is Fight or Run. Let me try to move that so you can actually see most of the cover. By various people, I think it's sort of organized by Kevin Huizenga, who does the Glenn Ganges series, or really the Ganges series, which collects his comics about Glenn Ganges, the character, I think. Although he also does various mini comics and shit. But Fight or Run is, I guess the full title is Fight or Run, Shadow of the Chopper. And it's an open source comics game, and the people thanked on the back are Alvin B., so presumably Buenaventura, who passed away earlier, I guess, this year. He was the publisher behind Buenaventura Press. Ken P., Chris P., Kate, and, quote, the whole Fight or Flight crew. And this is published by Buenaventura, so I assume Alvin B. is Alvin Buenaventura, although I don't know who Ken B., Chris P., or Kate would be. Although, maybe if I cared more about California comics, I could figure it out. Anyway, it's the best! It's kind of my platonic ideal of a comic in some ways. Because it's so good. It's so good. So it's just character versus character, and then the character has to decide if they're going to fight or run, and then it shows you what happens if they, with whichever outcome, and then it shows you who wins.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, the first one is Chopper versus Smearer. And then Chopper runs away, and Smearer gets tired and loses Chopper, so Chopper wins. And so on, through such characters as Kid Cocktail, Seven Seas versus Kid President, Chopper versus Blooper, Number One Song versus Chopper, Bride-to-Be versus Taxpayer. One of the best ones is Duck versus Rabbit, so you get, like, Duck Rabbit, like that drawing where it's like, is it a duck or is it a rabbit? It's both at the same time, it's a duck rabbit. So Duck fights Rabbit, and then they go around in a circle, and then is it the duck or the rabbit? Who can say?
That's pretty great.
It's so good. And there are a couple of these which are clearly drawn by Kevin Huizenga, because he's got, even though his drawings are like fairly minimal in some ways, in this, like, he doesn't go in for heavy-handed shading techniques. He's got some tells to his inking that make some of these, I think, pretty clearly actually Huizenga product. But there are others that I'm pretty sure are not, even though they're drawn in a similar style. In that way, it's a little bit like this other Kevin Huizenga collab comic I have, which I'm going to take 2 seconds to see if I can find, because I recently... I fucking alphabetized my mini comics recently, so I should be able to find it. What?
Fancy.
Not really. It was just getting to be kind of a problem that I couldn't find anything, although possibly I still can. There it is. Factual Healing with Leon Beyond, which is by Kevin H. and Dan Zetwalk, who did a comic called Bird's Eye, which is similarly premise-y. I think that was Zetwalk. Yeah, Bird's Eye Bristow, which we didn't talk about on the show, but is basically like, here's this small Midwestern town, and then they're building a cell phone tower. So the geography and the sort of human... I don't want to say the human geography, but the ways that people conceive of that space in terms of where you can go, what you do there, and who you can reach is reconsidered in that context. So delightful. And Kevin Huizenga has a lot of similar sort of... let's explore the geography of this place type shit, which is exciting for comics-y reasons. But Amazing Facts and Beyond with Leon Beyond is a collab between them, and you can usually tell who did which comic because their art is super different, but there are a couple of them where it looks like they might have both worked on the comic. Anyway, it seems like... what?
What's the difference?
Oh, I'll just show it to you, and it'll be super obvious, and then I'll try to write about it later. But, like, here's a page. So that's a Kevin Huizenga page. And you can see that it's pretty clean. The inking's pretty clean. And then there's a Zetwalk.
Okay.
And it's got much more tone. The characters are a little bit less... sparsely designed. Everybody's a little bit more dynamic looking. But there are a couple of cases where something will have been almost definitely done by Huizenga, but it'll have a little bit more tone in it, and you're like, are they trying to draw like each other or not? But anyway, you can pretty much always tell what Huizenga has done in this as well, because, like, this, which is Bride-to-Be versus Chopper, is clearly not... I mean, unless Huizenga was drawing with his left hand, that's not Kevin Huizenga. but since it doesn't, like, the comics are not attributed on the page... there's occasionally room to question whether, like, Huizenga did it or someone who draws kind of like Huizenga did it. And the best part, it's all the best part. I love this comic so much.
Top 10 of the year?
I mean, it was published in 2008, so top 10 of my year, but not top 10 of the year.
Top 10 of the year that you have read?
Yeah, which we should, in December, we should do a top 10 for each of us list, by the way. So can't be. You know, it'd be a fun way to close out the year. But he, like, drew out the formula, and it's actually, it makes it harder to read. Because if it's A versus B, and then you have lines going down to, like, A fight, A run, and then to the outcome, where, like, what case A wins, what case B wins, and so on. And then you have fight versus run. It's so good. yeah, so that's my and the last panel is, it looks like Run has won, right? But it's saying fight, so did Did they fight or did one run? Which one and how did they win? Who fucking knows? There's another sequence that is like straight up unreadable. And I love it for that. Let me see if there's a couple of these that get borderline unreadable, like the one where Minder versus Make-A-Wish are fighting inside their minds. And it includes what I would describe as the most convoluted nut shot in comics history. So you can see where Make-A-Wish, who's got the swirly face, is reaching through a swirl thing to punch Minder in the nuts. And then Minder is reaching through, because he's got the cube head, is reaching through a folded cube to punch Make-A-Wish in the nuts.
Wow.
Yeah!
That is some complicated nuts shots.
Right? And then and the second round of Duck Rabbit fighting, right, you read around the edges like that. And where they're running down the dirt there, and they jump, and then they splash into it, and then they swim back through there, and at some point they get back onto solid ground and run around, and then, so it's a circle, which is less complicated, but equally delightful. And then
That's an interesting way to draw.
There's some sequence. Yeah, here it is. They're one of the characters. Is alternately called Kid President, Kid Torture, as in T-O-R-C-H-E-R, Kid Torture, as in, torturer. And then I think there's one time where he's, Kid Arson or something. But I think it's the same character because it's drawn the same way, but he's fighting this blob dude. But they look the same from the legs down, so it just shows their legs running. But whereas it would be pretty easy to follow if they just did two of them, because you could assume that they were running in the order that they were running, assuming they didn't violate the 360 degree rule. Although maybe they did, who can say? But there's three panels of running feet, so which one is which?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So that's my favorite comic that I've read in forever. I love Kevin Huizenga so, so much. And one time I basically decided not to date someone because he was more interested in telling me about his feelings than talking about Kevin Huizenga. And I was like, this will never do.
We can never meet.
This is never going to work out.
He's the dream. Do you get a little crush
on Kevin Huizenga? No, absolutely not. I just like the comics.
Do you have a crush on his comics?
I mean, as much as anyone can have a crush on a text, sure.
I have a crush on some text.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, no, I love the ways that Kevin Huizenga is basically doing his own weird little oeuvre de bande dessinée potentiel. But without the, I don't know, some of the comics in New Bapo get a little tedious to me because they're too interested to me in playing with the supposed tensions between text and image, which is much less exciting to me than playing with structural rules about comics as pages and comics as kinds of space and comics panels as kinds of space with kinds of borders between them. And Huizenga does the shit out of that. Huizenga is playing with all kinds of good shit.
That's what's up.
Yeah. And then the fact that it's a fighting comic made me want to compare it a little bit to Prison Pit. Because they both take place in a kind of indeterminate space. Or more than that, a space whose features are primarily harshness and, or I don't know, I'm reading harshness and unfairly into fighter run, because it takes place basically in a void. It takes place in a void that is sometimes dirt and sometimes water, and sometimes dark and sometimes there's light, but mostly it's just a void. And Prison Pit, of course, takes place on the prison planet that has certain specific traits, but mostly it's just that you can't leave.
Gladiatorials.
Yeah, actually, that is really sage. Like the idea that the space of it is mainly its arena-ness. It's mainly that you're trapped in there and you gotta fight. And of course, in Fight or Run, and even in Prison Pit, there's a lot of sort of moving through that space for one reason or another, and sort of playing with what it is in comics to move through that space, the space of the page, and then also the imagined space of the text. And sort of using that gladiatorial arena as a space for logic exercises. Because fucking that grad student I used to work with claimed at one point that part of the point of Prison Pit is that it gets boring. Which it doesn't. He's wrong.
He doesn't like action?
No, he likes it. But that some of the sequences, because of the sort of static framing of it, and that's also something that's mostly true in Fight or Run, is that panel borders remain pretty square and often remain about the same size. Or if they shrink or grow, it's in a logical rather than a decorative way. And of course, I take umbrage of the idea of decorative, even though I've just said it. Because of course nothing is decorative on a page that is being read visually. Everything is strictly productive. That's my entire premise as a comics person, as a person who likes comics. But it's not mostly ostentatious in what it does with panel borders in the way that, like, in Swamp Thing, sometimes it'll be like, and then there's the border that's plants. And of course that has a function, but this chooses a different kind of function for how it wants to think about framing and looking and dividing up space. So yeah, they both feature what would be, if it were a movie, what it is not, like steady camera work. And then I was thinking, and this is my, like, I just want to pile a bunch of things together about Helper. Because Helper is another fighting comic that loves just adding shit. They're just like, we saw this battle, but if we see a more climactic battle? And Helper gets boring to me in a way that Fight or Run and Prison Pit do not. I like Helper a lot, but after a certain point, I'm just like, can we take a fucking breather on these dudes punching each other? Like, come on. And I think it's because individual battle sequences are so much fucking longer than in... I mean, Helper is incomparably much longer than I think even Prison Pit. Because the individual strips are pretty long versus the pages in Prison Pit. And certainly longer than Fight or Run, which is a mini-comic. But yeah, the ways that the logic of a fight sequence plays out in all of those is really exciting to me to think about. Like, how does one compare these things? How does one think about what is being done with space and what is being done with the sort of logic of bodies moving? I mean, bodies, images, of course, images moving, when of course nothing's moving because it's static images through space, when of course there's no space, it's a two-dimensional page. So fight comics are amazing for that. They're amazing for like logical escalation and thinking about what it means to think of comics as taking place in space or representing space. And that almost makes me wish I'd read Dragon Ball Z as sort of the fight comic through which everyone is going to be referencing fight comics.
Yeah, there's always going to be Dragon Ball somewhere in a fight sequence.
I would be shocked if there were anyone who hasn't read some Dragon Ball Z. and I only read a very little bit of it, like, more than a decade ago now. So I don't really have a lot to compare it to. But a lot of it that I can compare to other things. But thinking of the way that Dragon Ball Z's fight sequences are known for dragging the fuck on, and always, like, the next bigger thing, and then they go, like, Mega Saiyan or whatever. And comparing that to Fighter Run, which is very pared down, but also has that kind of, like, how do we escalate? If he's the chopper and all he does is chop, how does that compare to someone who only does this other thing? How do we stack those abilities? And of course, Chopper does a few things more than chop, but, like, mostly he doesn't have, like, other special abilities. His special thing is chopping. So yeah, that's, like, fighting comics! What? And Kevin Huizenga is always perfect, so.
Do you want to hear the latest Super Saiyan transformation level?
I am tentative, but yes.
Super Saiyan God Saiyan. I shit you not.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's getting pretty bad. It's always been lazy, but they're not even trying anymore. just give him a different hair color. Fuck it.
Wow, that saddens me. I mean, there's a whole broad tradition of fighting manga that we could be thinking about if I had read more of it. I mean, if I don't know, you read fighting manga all the time, so actually, I would definitely like to hear. And this is the only time I'll ever just invite you to tell me more about your fucking high school fight comic that I don't care about.
It's not a high school fight comic. It's a survival comic. Thank you.
Oh, okay. But, my bad.
There's no fair fighting. It is like if you playing tic-tac-toe and if you get it wrong, your brain explodes.
All right. So yeah, I guess tournament manga, right, as a thing, is sort of interesting to think about. Like, is that similar to fighting comics? How does the structure of tournament compare to the structure of and the logic of spaces behind other kinds of fight comics?
Yeah. There's always gonna be, even if it's a tournament or a fight comic, there's always going to be the one-on-one, so they can do close-ups, and they can do sweat, and they can do the whole, like, hard, fast pan in on a face.
Yeah.
Just be like, look at all the anger and power in his eyes.
I mean, justifying the plot of the comic based on the angles they want to draw is a really good way of thinking about that, actually. And really backwards to how a lot of people, I think, would think about, like, comics art following the needs of story, or how people would want to talk about comics that way. But no, comic stories follow the needs of art. Bam! So, yeah.
It's true, though.
Yeah. Let me think. So that's what I have read recently, is that comic, and then a little bit of Helper, but then I gave up on Helper again, because it's taking forever.
Yeah, I'm like on chapter 50 with Helper.
God, it's so long.
I'm just reading now, and I have no idea what's happening.
God.
There's a dude with two one-eyed babies in his lap.
What? Okay. All right. You're a little further than I am. I'm still in the, like, Demon City part.
I don't know what those words mean.
Okay.
Because I do love this, too.
Yeah. Just
reading really stupid comedies.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's fighting comics, I guess, in my life right now, which is not, I think, what either of us would expect me to be talking about, given my normal, like, I read somebody's autobio comic and then a romance comic, and that's my usual sort of span of comics, but I haven't read any, I've been, like, When was the last time we did the podcast? I guess late last month, right?
Yeah, that was, I think, maybe right before Halloween, or like...
Yeah, so I've been nearly 1 week romance comic free. Oh no, that reflects really poorly on me. Should we make one of those signs for the podcast of like days since I've been binged read a fucking high school romance comic?
Can you like take the results? I think we should. I think that's a great idea. And then we should just have an episode where we just talk romance comics. Because we like, we both have interesting takes.
I mean, my take isn't interesting. My take is they're an anesthetic for my misery. I just pour them. Like, whenever I'm sufficiently depressed, I just read them for hours at a time because they are so soothing. I don't know if that's interesting as much as that is kind of a depression diagnostic quiz. Like, my two tells for how depressed I am is how much mac and cheese am I eating? And how many romance comics have I read recently?
It's so real. Yeah. You gotta watch Toradora sometime. I tell how depressed I am by how much anime I'm watching. If I'm watching Toradora, then I hate romance. I hate romance so much.
Okay.
All right. I know you don't believe that.
I mean, I don't, but not in a judgy way. Just in a, like, your actions seem to contradict that.
Yeah. Well, you know how a plant will sometimes get hit with a cordyceps spore and not know that it's in there, and then it starts sprouting out of it? And it's like, oh, this mushroom came out of me. I have no idea how it got there. That's sort of my relationship with romance comics.
I did not know that, and I am horrified to learn.
You're welcome.
God, that's Jiminy fucking crickets.
I am a harbinger of destruction. And those things.
Please don't. Okay. Last night, I read this comic on... Do you read Junior Scientist Power Hour?
No, but it sounds great.
It's mostly it's by the lady who does The Last Halloween, which is a horror webcomic. She's a horror fan, and she does, Junior Scientist Power Hour. She does various short horror comics, and then she does Long Halloween, which is longer, and JS Power Hour is her autobio comic. That she started, I think, when she was in high school or something. And it's gone through, like, many autobiographical or semi-autobiographical webcomics. It's gone through a lot of changes as her art style changes and as her interests change. But anyway, she just did a comic about a possum infected with maggots. And that ruined my night last night. I looked at that, and that is, there's a word for it, but you know when you're phobic of certain textures that are like thing inside of hole, basically, like lotus pods or like things with many small holes? That is not like quite there on phobia, because I can sometimes look at lotus pods and not want to die. And it's not even the small holes things, it's if there's a thing inside the small hole, I want to claw my entire goddamn face off. So the mushroom thing sounds like a further nightmare, and I am pleading with you not to send me that, because I don't need that in my life. I do a good enough job ruining my own life.
I'm very good at ruining lives. If you ever want some help,
please don't send me any bad textures. That's
I won't. I don't that. A scout's honor. It is gross, though.
Thanks. All right.
I'm gonna check out The Last Halloween.
Yeah, it's good, actually. I think you'd like it.
Is it cutesy, or is
no.
it like...
It has moments that are kind of cute, and it's centered around children, but it's a, I mean, it's a horror comic. It is a comic about monsters, but the monster is specific to a person, and if your monster kills you, the monster gets to live forever, is I think the premise there. So, but if you die by the hand of someone besides your monster dies. So it's, yeah, it's a monster comic, basically. And the idea is that the veil between worlds that keeps the monsters away from the humans, which is maintained through mystical wizard shit, has broken down. So now these people have to figure out how to fix the veil and, like, get the monsters back where the monsters belong.
It's like almost exactly my shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd like it a lot. And I think if you have the time to also read her short comics, I think one is like Whistle and I'll Come, My Lad, or something. And the other is the Portrait of Saul Pullman? Sal Pullman. Those are both pretty fun too. They're more like adaptations of classic horror stories, like campfire story type shit. I don't think Portrait of Saul Pullman is actually, I don't know if A Whistle and It'll Come to You, My Lad, is either, but they have that feeling of classic horror stories. They feel retellable. So yeah, they're fun. They're super, super fun. I know Halloween is over, but our love of horror movies is never over, so our love of horror comics can be similarly immortal.
Absolutely. They're great.
Yeah.
And you have to watch them.
Yeah. Totes. Do you have other comics thoughts? I realize I was being sort of dismissive of your DC Comics thoughts, and now I feel bad about it. At the time, I did not feel bad about it, but now that I have reconsidered my stance on being a human person,
you did nothing wrong.
That is definitely not true, but it's fine either way, probably. Do you have other comics thoughts you have? I don't know. That was grammatically quite bad. Do you have other comics thoughts about things you have read is grammatically better.
More Detective Champ.
Okay. All right. I support you.
I'm still sifting through the pile of garbage. Mostly it's just poopy out there, but
yeah.
I hate Fairyland still. It's not very good, but it's very silly. And I like He Is a Good Boy. I think that's finally having some interesting developments.
Finally?
It's had a lot of interesting developments. I'm just sort of salty. I'm a little salty today.
That's fair. I mean, I liked all of it. the new, I mean, now it's gone to a place of like, what's going on? And that's okay. It's always had some of that, but I don't know. I never felt like I really needed the plot to advance. So.
I need me some plot.
That is a difference between us, which I say without judgment. It's just a difference of opinion that we have.
Different strokes, opposites attracting.
Yeah, that's what makes our podcast so good. You like things that have events happen, and I like things that take place entirely in the picture plane. So. Or that have events happen but that don't go anywhere. That's the other thing I like. I like it when a lot of events happen but ultimately no plot happens. So, yeah, I think unless you have more comics things you want to say, let's call the trades for November there for now. Comics are good.
Comics are good. Also, both. Vote for the president and also vote if you want Thor to be a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Apparently that is a thing.
There's what? There's a poll about it?
There is not a poll, but they released a comic called The Unworthy Thor. And essentially it's them being like, depending on how sales do, we might bring back Dude Thor.
Oh, well, don't buy it then. Like... Don't let them bring back Dude Thor. Dude Thor is a waste.
No one's gonna buy those comics. It's like
all men are bad, and Dude Thor is also bad. So don't do it.
Thor is a bad property.
I mean, movie Thor's alright. I just want more heroes who are kind of dumb and fundamentally good-hearted. But you need a property that supports that. So one that allows for a kind of dumb and goofy and good-hearted character to succeed in some ways or to fail in a way that is either not depressing or depressing in an interesting way. Yeah. No strong preference between those two things, but it's gotta be one of those.
I like failure all the time.
That is another difference we have. I feel like I have enough failure in my regular life that I don't necessarily need to seek it out constantly in comics. It can be interesting.
I like the shot in Florida. I like the... At least I'm not... failing that hard.
Yeah, there but for the grace of God, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Come at me, God.
I'm not sure I would taunt the Lord that way, but that's just me. I think there's certain advantages to being adequately God-fearing.
If I'm dead by the next... podcast, you know who did it.
Yeah, I'll fucking sue the Lord in heaven on your behalf. All right, wrongful death suit against an act of God. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We've been the Trades, Aaron LaRoche and me, FST. You can find us on Facebook at the Trades Podcast. You can find us on Podomatic at thetrades.podomatic.com. You can find our column on Women Write About Comics. Mostly monthly. And that's it for this month. Okay, thanks. Bye.